Striving for a crown. Are you striving this morning? You fighting? I'm in a fight for my life this morning. And you know, you are too. We are fighting for our spiritual life. And if we let down in the fight, we will be overcome. But if we will continue to fight, the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if you are saved this morning and you have given your heart to the Lord and been washed in the blood of Jesus, you can be a victor. But we do not have the luxury this morning of sitting down and just taking our ease. We're going to have to fight. And in a fight, when you are fighting, there are places that you will come to that you are tired and you are weary and you are frustrated and exasperated, and it feels like that you cannot continue to fight. And if you're not careful, you will lose your will to even keep up the struggle. But I want you to know this morning, and I would that each one of us know very personally from the Lord, it's going to be worth it to keep fighting. It's going to be worth it. So don't let down this morning. Don't give up. Don't say, I'm tired of the struggle. Because as you stay faithful and keep fighting, the Lord is going to give you some more victories. And the Lord is going to bring you to a place that you can look back, maybe to where you are this morning. You'll be able to look back and say, the Lord carried me through. When I didn't have the strength, I think about this, the poem, Footprints. You all remember that poem? It was when the Lord had promised to be with him, and I don't remember how it all goes, but he was getting there, and he saw two sets of footprints on the sand as walking together with the Lord. And he got to a very difficult and rough place, and he only saw one set of footprints. And he said, Lord, why did you leave me at that time? And I was walking by myself, and the Lord said, "That I didn't leave you by yourself. That's when I picked you up and carried you." I will say this morning, it is a reality that sometimes we can feel very alone. And we look around, and it really does feel like God has forsaken us. Can I just be real human with you all this morning? I'm kind of feeling that way myself a little bit right now. It's like, Lord, where are you? And yet, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know he has not forsaken us because he has proved himself to me too many times. So in spite of feeling and in spite of circumstances and in spite of how it looks, I know the Lord is still there. And I know he's there for you all too. So if you are in the fight this morning, let's not stop fighting. I am striving for a crown. You know what a crown is? It's a symbol of triumph, isn't it? It's a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of victory, royalty, majesty. So in a race or when there has been a conquest, whether it be in sports or other things, they would give them a crown. They got the crown. They won. I want that to be my end. Do you? You want to get to the end? I want to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To say that I made it through the battle. I made it through the difficulty and we won the victory. We won a crown. Victory. St. Edward's crown, and some of you may have read some of these things in the news in the last year or two. St. Edward's crown in England is stored in the Tower of London, and we've been there. We might have even seen that crown. I don't remember specifically. We've been to the Tower of London, but it was worn by King Charles at his coronation. And they say that that crown is valued at $57 million. A crown valued at $57 million. They said it weighs almost 5 pounds. It is solid gold, and it's set with more than 444 precious and semi-precious stones. So rubies and sapphires. But that's not all. There is another crown that they have there as well that is the imperial state crown. And it was placed on Queen Elizabeth's coffin at her funeral. They placed that crown on the top of her coffin. They say that it has over 3,000 jewels on it. And it was made in 1937. They said it is, in essence, it's priceless. It is priceless. They said that if they try to put a value on it, there's a big range because it's priceless. They said it is valued at $3.4 to $5.7 billion for a crown. Richard the Lionhearted, and some of you maybe in history have read of him, they said he had a crown that was so heavy that two earls would stand on either side of him or be on either side of him when he had the crown on his head, and they had to hold his head up because it was so heavy. Well, I want to read to you a passage of scripture about some other crowns, all right? Turn with me to Revelation in the 19th chapter. Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Revelation chapter 19 in verse 11. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen. Do you know this morning that is a picture of Jesus Christ? He was on a white horse, which was a symbol of conquering. The Romans, when they would go out to war, they would be on their horse. Sign of peace was when it was on a colt or a donkey. But when they were on the horse, it was a sign of military strength. And we have a picture of Jesus Christ on a white horse. He was true and righteous, faithful. And he does judge and make war. And then he had an army following him. You know who that army was? It's the saints of God, following their leader who is crowned with many crowns, it said. And then in verse 16, it said, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This was a picture of a triumphant Christ. This was a picture of Jesus that was going and had conquered every enemy. That's who we're following today. But it said on his head were how many crowns? Many crowns. It didn't tell us. So I wonder what all crowns were on his head. Well, a crown of victory. When you have victory, you get the crown. That's Jesus Christ. There is no foe that could conquer Jesus Christ. There is no power on earth this morning that can overcome you when you're following Jesus Christ. He had the crown of creation. Wasn't he the one that created us? You see, the sun was there at the dawn of creation. Jesus was there. Let us make man in our image. The crown of creation, the crown of sovereignty. Jesus is overall. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So he has a crown of sovereignty. He has a crown of glory. There is no greater glory than what rests on Jesus Christ. The crown of righteousness. Who else would wear that crown of righteousness in his infancy than Jesus Christ himself? A crown of glory, crown of life. But there was another crown that Jesus wore that was not fashioned by the jewelers. It was not fashioned by the silversmiths and the goldsmiths. It was a crown that was put together by some Roman soldiers, and it was made out of thorns. And to me this morning, that crown of thorns is valued more than that imperial state crown that they say is $3 to $5 billion. It was placed on the head of Jesus Christ that day that he was crucified because of his love for you and me. It was that day that Jesus was whipped and he had the metal nails, spikes driven through his hands and through his feet, that they placed that crown of thorns as it probably pressed into his head and those thorns pressed in and blood trickled down his face. That crown holds more meaning to us today than all of the valuable crowns of this world. Because see, it symbolizes suffering. When you see that crown of thorns, it's a symbol of suffering. But the reality is, he didn't deserve to wear that crown. We did. We were the sinners. We've been the ones that have transgressed God's law. We have been the ones that gave in and succumbed to the influences of the enemy. It was us that was worthy of death. It was us that was worthy of that crown of thorns. And yet, that day, Jesus had that crown of thorns. They put that sign above him that said, King of the Jews. If they would have only known, he indeed was the king. Because on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And there is no other power that can ever conquer him. There's no other power. But while it was us that deserved to wear a crown of thorns, it was that same Jesus that today wears many crowns that offer to us a crown. And it wasn't a crown of thorns. It was not a crown of suffering. But it was through his humiliation and it was through his suffering that he offered to us something. So if you will turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the 7th verse, Paul was speaking about this crown. He said, I have fought a, what kind of fight? I have fought a good fight. He said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. In other words, a crown won in the cause of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. Are you looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ today? Do you realize that he has offered us a crown, and it's a crown that is won because of righteousness? It's a crown that is not, it's not a crown of ambition. It's not a crown of pride. It's not a crown of self-righteousness. It's not a crown because I'm so good and I'm so worthy. It is a crown that he is going to offer to all of us that have yielded and been washed in the blood of Jesus. And everybody that has been washed in the blood of Jesus and is following Christ and is fighting the good fight. You see, when we get saved, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. When we get saved, the devil is going to contest everything. He's going to contest every victory. He's going to contest every step that we make forward. And yet Paul said, I fought a good fight. I didn't give up. I didn't let down, but I kept fighting the good fight. A crown of eternal life. If we will stay faithful to the Lord this morning, if we will strive for that crown, and that's what I'm striving for today, I'm fighting for it, I'm working for it, and I've told my wife many times, when it comes my time to die, I want you to remember, this is what I've been living for. This is what I've been working for, because we go on to be with the Lord. That's what we're striving for. And it's not, and he has something wonderful laid up in store for us. 1 Peter 5:4 says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. A place of peace and contentment. Blessing beyond measure, joy without compare. That's what comes with that crown this morning. The crown goes to the victor, does it not? To those that stay the course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. You know, there are so many, and I had a little vision And it brought sadness to me. I had a vision of people coming to the end of their way, standing before God, and there's just, if there are shelves at the judgment, I could just see shelves with crowns on them, with people's names. This crown was for you, and yet you rejected me. You didn't strive for the crown. You walked away. You didn't stay faithful. You let the priorities of the world interfere with serving the Lord. You let the pleasures of the flesh, you let your pride, you let your ambition, you let the things of the world overtake you. And there was a crown that was reserved in heaven for them. There are many people that are walking away from their crown today. It's a lost crown. It's set on the shelf, never to be used. And that brings grief to my heart today. And yet, just because someone else has lost their crown, it doesn't mean that you have to or I have to. I want to strive this morning. I know, I just want to be real, real personal with you here today. I can stand up here on this, I'm up elevated a little bit higher than you all, and I'm behind the pulpit preaching. I really don't want to just be preaching. I just want to share with you, don't stop fighting. You have a crown. The Lord has a crown to give to you. He has eternal life to give to us. Let's not stop fighting. The scripture, when Jesus said, "Will I find faith when I return?" I'll tell you that I understand that more and more. Is he going to find people that are still striving for the crown? Is he going to find people that are saying, "Lord, I still believe in you. Although there's all this around me, Lord, I'm going to keep my faith fixed. I'm striving for that crown. Will I find faith when I return? Will you too walk away? Will I too walk away from God? Or will we say, Lord, by your help, I can't do it by myself, but Lord, I'm going to keep striving for that crown. I'm going to keep working. So what do we need to do? If we want to win that crown as we strive for it, what does that mean for us today? Paul told us in part in 1 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he said, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize." He was talking about what we now today call the Olympics. Same history, goes all the way back. And Paul was talking about those that run a race, and he said, you know, one wins the race, one wins the prize, one gets that crown. But he said, "So run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." In other words, what he was talking about is that there's a crown for all of us. It's not just for one of us. There's a crown for all of us, but we're going to have to win it the same way that they won a corruptible crown. Because, see, they would put, you know, a crown of made of leaves. They would put, of what? Laurels. A crown of laurels, of leaves. And those things would wither eventually. They'd wither away. He said, we're not fighting for something that's going to fade away. He said, we're striving for this crown of life. For this eternal crown, for something that is enduring and lasting in heaven. And may I just remind us, and it's not the essence of the burden this morning, that heaven is not just a place for departed spirits. That's paradise. Heaven is a real place. He will give us a new heaven and a new earth, a new place to live where there is quality of life. And we can't even begin to comprehend the joy of living up in heaven, because it far supersedes the most beautiful places here on earth. There's no more temptation. There's no more struggles. There's no more sickness, thank God. There's no more grief. There's no more death. But there is actually life. There's living up in heaven. And that's what we're going to gain if we will stay faithful this morning. But we're going to have to win it this way. He said, being temperate in all things. You know what it means to be temperate? It means to be moderate. and to abstain from anything that will hinder us on the journey. So, give an example. One of the best swimmers, I guess, of all time, won some of the most of all Olympic medals was Michael, is it Phelps? Is that how you pronounce it? Michael Phelps. You know what they said about him? And I looked it up, did a little research. He won 23 gold medals in the Olympics, many more bronze and silver. 23. They said there was a period of years that he never skipped one day of training. Okay, so is this our day of training on Sunday, y'all? Okay, some people are skipping their one day of training too. He did not neglect one day of training. 7 days a week, he swam 8 miles a day. Every day he swam 8 miles, spent 5 to 6 hours in the pool before going to the gym and working out with weights for a long time. He got good sleep. He ate 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day. If you're going to do that, you better be exercising a lot. That's all I can say. But he had discipline and focus because he was striving for a cause. Do you not ever think there were things that he shouldn't have been doing? So I don't feel like exercising today. He probably had to say, what is how I feel have to do with it? It's not how we feel. Well, I don't feel like doing this today. Folks, we're going to have to get beyond our feelings this morning. If we're going to strive for this crown, he said, do it. They're striving for a corruptible one, and we an incorruptible. So he said, be temperate in all things. If there is something that is hindering you spiritually, get rid of it. Yeah, but the church doesn't. It doesn't matter what the church teaches. Does it matter what I do or don't do? If something is hindering you spiritually, get rid of it. It's better to cut off your arm. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? It's better to cut off your arm and go through life lame than to miss your crown. And we look around and say, but what are they doing? And they're doing. Look at your own life and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to make it. Whatever it takes. If I have to get rid of some of my friends, some of my companions, if I can't do that because I know it's a hindrance, it really doesn't matter whether the pastor's doing it or not. If it's a hindrance to you, get rid of it. Now, we can be challenged by one another. You understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about just it's all a free-for-all, but what we're saying is that if we're going to win a crown, it's going to take something. And it's going to mean discipline and focus when I feel drawn to do this over here. And it's going to be to the neglect of my soul. Think about these athletes and what they gave up to win the crown. Can we do any less spiritually? I'm not saying go eat 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day and be in the pool 5 or 6 hours a day and swim 8 miles a day. But spiritually, can we do less? That every day, every moment, that Lord, every decision I make, I'm going to say what is best for my soul. And I'm going to live that way because I'm striving for a crown. You see, this is very personal now. It's not a soapbox I would say I'm fed up with, but that sounds very fleshly. But I don't have a lot of tolerance spiritually, in a spiritual way, for people that keep talking about the church and this and that and the other. This is about you and God this morning. It's about you and God. It's not about what they did 100 years ago. It's about my relationship with God and His way that He said, this is how you win the crown. This is how you win the crown. And so I say, Lord, then help me. Help me to put you first in my life. Help me in my decisions and choices to maintain some discipline in my life and say no to some other things, as lawful as they might be, if it's going to hinder me from seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So let's keep our eye on the goal this morning. Do you know that's what we're going to have to do? What are we fighting for? What are we striving for? Let's keep our eye on the goal. And you know the problem, I almost think Brother Max told me this Wednesday. We were talking about salt, and if you talk about salt and fried food, then come up the issue of French fries. How many of you have ever actually just had one French fry? I know you might reach over there and eat one from the person sitting next to you. But do you know what normally happens when you have one French fry? Yeah, I don't have to tell you because most of us have done that too. I'll just have one. Oh, look. Because it creates an appetite. So it's better not to have one. I'm not preaching against French fries, but spiritual French fries. Things that are detrimental to us spiritually, we say, but I'm just going to have one. The problem with it is we don't stop with one. You want me to tell you how this works? Okay, I've been off sugar for many weeks, relatively off sugar. And the two times Renee made some cookies, I got so sick, it was horrible. It was bad. My wife doesn't know what I'm going to tell y'all next. I was in town this week. And I was right next to a place that they make donuts and things. And it was about closing time. And so I went in and I got a donut or a Danish type thing. And I walked out to the car and I took a bite and thought, this is dry and it doesn't even taste good. So I put it back in the bag. Okay, thank the Lord. I reached back in the bag just a second later and took another bite. So it still doesn't taste very good. It's dry. It's not worth it. And I put it back in the bag. Then I reach back in the bag again. You may think I don't have any self-discipline. I haven't finished my story. And I took another bite, and I thought, this is stupid. I'm sorry, maybe we don't use that word, but this is ridiculous. This is foolish. Is that better? So your children go home, Brother Michael said that. No, you understand. Okay, that was foolish. So what I did is when I got to my next stop, I took that bag and wrapped it up and took it, and I threw it in the trash. Because I knew if I didn't, I'd try it again. And I knew it didn't even taste good. Do you know that's just like things of the world? It's just like things that are not good for us spiritually. And we say, man, that really wasn't all it was cracked up to be. You know, I thought it would be better, but it really wasn't. But we keep trying it and keep expecting it to be different. And it just takes us further and further away from where we need to be. And pretty soon, I could have eaten the whole thing. Do you know how often this happens with people spiritually? So I had to get it out. I've got to just throw this away. Because if I leave it there, I'm probably going to reach over and take another bite. And it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. So what do we do spiritually? Paul said, and I believe this was mentioned Wednesday night in our Bible study, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm going to prioritize in everything else that's hindering me in my striving for a crown. I'm going to get rid of it because I'm going to esteem the things of Christ more important. I'm going to put him first in my life. And this is where he said, brethren, I count not myself to have attained. There's been some misinterpretation of that scripture. More often than not, it's misused. And I think I have compassion because I've misused it before too. But do you realize when he said, I haven't attained yet, you know what he was talking about? He was talking about the crown. He was talking about eternal life. He said, I haven't gotten there yet. So in other words, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. What's the prize of the high calling? A crown of life. Eternity, heaven. So maybe we're not there. We're not there yet. So folks, let's keep striving. I don't know what you're facing in your life right now, but may I encourage you, if you are feeling discouraged and weary, keep striving. It's going to be worth it because otherwise we will not gain the crown. So Lord, help us to keep striving, keep pressing, have a passion for the Lord. And in 1992, there was another race in the Olympics. It was the 400-meter race. There's a man by the name of Derek Redmond, and as he was running, he felt his hamstring snap. It literally snapped, and he fell down. He collapsed. It was a devastating injury. And medical aid came to him, and they tried to escort him off the track, but he insisted, I want to finish. I want to finish. I cried when I read this, and I'll do good to get through it again. They said that his dad was watching on the sidelines, and his dad pushed through security and ran out on the field, because obviously everyone else was down the track. And his dad walked over to him and held him up. And he said that Derek, weeping, his dad walked with him, helped holding him up to walk across, to get across the finish line. And all I could think of is that's exactly what the Lord does for us when we say, Lord, I don't want to quit. Lord, I want to make it. I want to get to the finish line because there's a prize for all of us. He didn't win a gold medal, but I think people know him. I don't know who won that medal that day, but I know about him. He made it. I want to make it too. And I want you to make it. And sometimes when it feels like we've had some things that have been a great hindrance, see that spiritual hamstring snapped, and it seems like that you can't do it anymore, you maintain your purpose. Don't give up on your purpose. Maybe you might go limping, but I want to go, I don't want to go limping into paradise or into heaven. I want to go flying through, but we could do that by the grace of God. But if it takes the Lord, I can't do it, but I want to make it, the Lord's going to be there to help hold us up. It's like, Michael, I know you got an injury, but you can make it with my help. And that's what the Lord is doing for us this morning. Blessed is the man that endureth. You know what it means to endure? Temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive what? Crown of life. If you endure temptation, temptation meaning difficulties, afflictions, persecutions, influences, powers, and forces, anything that would try to cause us to deviate from striving for the crown, he said, blessed is the man that endureth. In other words, keeps pressing. So, if there's influences in your life that you see are causing you to deviate from your purpose to put God first, they don't have to win. They don't have to win. If there are things in your life that just seem like this is impossible, how can I do it under these circumstances? Circumstances do not have to win. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, because when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. So, in conclusion this morning, I have to, in the Spirit, share with you from Revelation in the fourth chapter. There is a picture there in the fourth chapter of Revelation, the 10th verse, of the people of God, the New Testament church. It says the 24 elders, that's 24, 12 representing the 12 tribes of Israel, the other 12 representing the disciples. So it's a picture symbolically of the whole church of God, Old and New Testament together. I misspoke earlier. It's a whole church of God. And so they were around the throne of heaven, and it said they fell down, in verse 10, before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever. And it said they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. So I want us to get a little picture of what happened here. The saints, they made it to heaven. They had eternal life, and symbolically they had a crown. And when they got up to heaven, they took their crown and they cast it down before the throne of Jesus Christ, before the throne of God, saying, you are the one that is worthy. I think it's like that Derek that crossed the finish line. He finished, but do you know where he'd say the glory went? He'd probably look over his dad and say, Dad, thank you for carrying me over the finish line. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to go in my self-righteousness. I'm not going to go in because I'm a fifth generation church of God. I'm not going to get there because I can give them my lineage and my pedigree, so to speak. I'm not going to get there because I said, well, Lord, I did this for you and I sacrificed that. When I get to heaven, all I can do, I'm going to cast my crown down and say, Lord, it was all because of you. It was all because of you, Lord. We're going to be casting our crowns down before the throne of God. I am striving to get that crown that I can just give it back to the Lord and say, Lord, it's all because of you. So keep striving. I love all of you this morning. I know that everyone has their own set of issues and things in life that we are battling and fighting and burdens. But I want to encourage you to keep striving for the crown, because it's going to be well worth it. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.